Greetings to everyone. God's blessings upon you. I hope you have had a beautiful week and God has been with you all the way. I ask you to open your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. I can begin reading with verse 3 of 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. I speak to you concerning a man called Jehoshaphat. Second Chronicles 20, beginning with verse 20, beginning with verse 3, excuse me. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord and before the new court. And said, O Lord, our Father, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest thou over all the kings of the heathen, and in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou, O God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? May God and the blessings to the reading of that word. Amen. Again, we welcome you to the church today and pray God's richest of blessings on you. As I was looking through my Bible doing some study preparations, I came upon this thing. It says, faith enjoined. I kept looking at the references on this, how that every instance of faith in the Bible is connected to another place in the Bible in regards to the faith that we have. The Bible says that we should have the faith once delivered to the saints. You know, sometimes I think that as the church, we ought to be triumphing all over everything in the world. People ought to know who we are and they ought to see us when we're coming. And they shouldn't be any doubt in their minds who we are or what we're doing and how great our faith is in our God through Jesus Christ. Today we're going to talk to you about somebody called Jehoshaphat. I don't know whether his mother was mad at him when she named him that. I have no idea. I'm right proud that my mama said James David. She said, I give you two Christian names, so maybe you'll turn out to be something good. Well, evidently it works, so here we are trying to do what is good. But Jehoshaphat means that God's judgment or judging concerning God. Jehoshaphat is a person in the Bible that proclaims a fast. Now, sometimes people, they understand what a fast might be. A fast is a total giving up of all food and liquids in your body to fast a solemn fast unto the Lord. Now, when we look at that, we think sometimes, well, you know, we can't do that because that means we might have problems. But one of my pastor friend, his name is Dale Ramsey, he went on something like a 40-day one. I thought, man, he's wouldn't be able to stand up. But he done it in a way that was under the supervision of a doctor and everything, and a close eye himself, and today he's still alive, he's still with us. In fact, if I would say somebody was probably very healthy in the Church of God right now, he's probably one of the men that's probably a healthy gentleman. But Jehoshaphat was somebody that came before the Lord, and he said, Jehoshaphat, in the third verse of the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles, he said, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. Now, what was the reason? Well, if you go back in just a little bit of study, you'll find out that all the enemies, the Moabs and the Moabites and all these people that they had driven out of the land and came in and settled on their land, were now wanting to come back in and take the land away from them. Now, that sounds like when God gives you something, you shouldn't be bothered anymore, should you? you forget. Your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. God has given us the kingdom. I have no doubt about the kingdom. I have no doubt about where it's going to be. I have no doubt about my estate in it. I have no doubt about your estate in the kingdom of God. But the thing about it is not going to be given to you without a whole lot of difficulties before you arrive. He tells this in verse 4. He said, "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord." Now, do people really want God in their life? Do they really want to seek the Lord? They want God to be... Do they want God to find you, or do you want to find God? The Bible says to be found in Him, having not your own righteousness, which is part of the law, but the righteousness of faith through Jesus Christ. And he said, Judah gathered themselves together, brought themselves in great groups to ask a help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Everybody came. It wasn't just mama, daddy, hopefully brothers, sisters, maybe a few kids. No, he says the whole crew came. Everybody. They packed up all the donkeys, they packed up everything, and they headed to the house of the Lord. Wouldn't it be a surprise if everybody that should be here would show up here on Sunday morning? They may be I don't think it would cause cardiac arrest, but there were a few of us. Probably have to take a few deep breaths if the whole church showed up here at once. The thing about it is that Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art thou God in heaven?" Yes, God, well, God is in heaven, isn't he? Last time I checked, I believe he's up there. I believe there's a whole lot of angels with him and one precious soul that gave his life for all of us, Jesus Christ. He said, concerning this, Jehoshaphat said, and he said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen?" Now, you didn't notice he didn't say Judah or Israel. He said all the kingdoms of the heathen. You know God's in charge in Iran? Somebody says, how can he be in charge with that bunch of people running around that hadn't got enough sense hardly getting out of the rain? Pardon my expression. Yes, he is over all these kingdoms. He's over everything over the face of the earth. The Soviets don't even know he's there, but he's there. They don't know he's there in Jerusalem, in Israel, but he's there. They don't know where he's at, but my God, according to what Jehoshaphat said, and according to the word of the Lord, he says, what? He said, "Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? In thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" Do you know the Soviets don't even know he's there? But boy, he is going to smack them old boys around like a rubber ball in the end of the time. You know that? The Chinese don't even know he's there, but I've got news for him. When he wakes up his people, and when he wakes up the world, and when he shows the world who he really is, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. They haven't seen what God can do. They don't even know he's there, but of a certainty, he is there. He says in verse 7, "Art not thou, O God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever?" He said, didn't you give us this stuff? Isn't this our land? Didn't you drive the enemies out from before us? Didn't you destroy all of them? Didn't you obliterate them according to the promise that you made to your friend Abraham? These people don't even know that this world is going to become the kingdom of God. They don't even get a clue that the kingdoms and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heavens God speaks of shall become what? Can anybody say that? The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the heavens shall be given to whom? Whoa! The world don't know that. You ought to go tell them that. They don't know that God is going to give you the whole earth and everything in it. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. David said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of what? Oh, don't you think that sounds good? I think we ought to paint peace here, peace there, peace here, and put a big sign up here. Peace. For the simple reason that God is going to do exactly what God said He's going to do. And Jehoshaphat's depending on God to do away with his enemy. Somebody says, we are just lost. We don't know what to do. We come up against a brick wall. Do you know when this committee met together, the first thing they did before they went anywhere in this church, they stood in that foyer and prayed. You know that. You went out and the committee went downstairs and did all this talking and everything. You know, the last thing they did before they left this house of God was they bowed on their knees in that foyer again and they talked to God. Does the world know who we've got on our side? They don't even have a clue who is with us. But I've got news for you. They're going to get a big, big surprise. Just like they got here with Jehoshaphat. He said, didst thou not drive out the inhabitants of the land before the people of Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend? Verse 8, and they that dwelt therein have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if and when the evil cometh among us as the sword, judgment, and pestilence, or famine, we stand before you in this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this, what? This house. And cry unto thee in our afflictions, and thou wilt hear and help. You know, we treat God like He's a billion trillion miles away. We treat Him like He's so far away that He can't do anything in this world. The world itself does not believe in your God. They do not know your God. They do not know your Savior Jesus, whom He's raised from the dead. They deny the resurrection. They deny everything about the resurrection because they believe in their hearts that they are immortal and never dying. I've got news for you. The Bible says you are a soul. And the Bible says in Ezekiel 18, it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's not being said for the majority of the whole United Christian world. No, your soul can never die. The Bible says your soul can die. For the living know they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Ecclesiastes 9:5. Does that scare you? I know I'm going to die. I believe the breath that God put in will go out. I believe that when His breath goeth forth, He returns to His earth, and that very day His thoughts perish. I cease to know what's going on. One old man told me one time, he told his young ones, he said, if you don't live right after I die, he said, I'm going to come up out of that ground and beat you to death with a stick. One of his sons told me that. I said, I got news for you. He's in there for keeps until the Lord wakes him up. And I said, I don't care if you bury him with 10 sticks and a big pole in his hand. I said, he's going to be there till Jesus comes back and raises him from the dead. That's it. Jehoshaphat believed in that God. He believed in what that God could do. And he's just simply telling God and telling the people and rehearsing the promises of God so they'll have faith. In verse 10, and now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how that they reward us to come to cast us out of our possession which thou hast given us to inherit. They've come to take away our promise. They've come and take away what God's given. You know what, who wants to take away your promise? Your adversary. He's not your friend. He's the devil. He's your adversary. He wants to take eternal life from every one of you. He wants to rob you of it. He wants to give you everything you want in this world. All the immorality you want. All the sexual stuff you want. All the pornography you want. All the drinking you want. All the drugs you want. Everything you want, you can have. But the thing that he don't tell you is that when you get all that, you do not get eternal life. You don't inherit nothing. Only to hear the Lord bring you before judgment, stand you right there in presence of everybody, declare every thought of your mind, every bit of your heart, and everything about you, and declare your whole life before Him, and then Him to tell you, and amidst all that, I never knew you. Time to know God today. It's not time to know Him tomorrow. It's not even time to know Him the day after tomorrow. It's time to know Him today. It's time to stop right in the middle of where you're at and realize that you are God's child, that you are one of His. Jehoshaphat knew that. He knew what God was. He knew how God works. He'd tore down shrines. He'd tore down idols. He'd done all this stuff. And he had established the worship of the only true God. If we could all lay our idols out there and come in here and worship the only true God, we would have true worship in this house of God. But the many of you come in here, you carry your idols with you because you carry things in here that you love more than you love God. Somebody says, I don't have no shrines at my house. I've got news for you. The things that you love more than God, they become your shrine. The things that you give more of your life to, they become your gods. The thing that you give your whole life to, and all the money that you have to, they become your gods. Somebody says, we don't have idols sitting everywhere. Well, I don't know about that. I've been in a few churches that stuck up like everywhere, statues in every place. Had a little fountain that told me how to sprinkle that on me. Don't worry about it. It's not holy water. I don't know what it is, but there's nothing to do with holy water. Jehoshaphat is making a proposal to the people of God to hear him and know what God can do. I'm making a proposal to you, the same way Jehoshaphat made it to the children of Judah. I believe God can do it. Don't you believe God can do it? Have you lost your sense, your faith, your reality of what God can do? Where is God? Maybe you made him into a little statue and he's sitting on the porch or sitting somewhere out in the yard, or maybe he's a little shrine sitting in your garden. Evidently, he might not be here with you. Jehoshaphat. I love his name. Every time I say it, I say it three or four times. Oh, Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat. Well, if you rent together, whatever, you're talking more about fat than you are Jehoshaphat. Trust me. Say it 20 times real fast and I'll guarantee you, you'll be spitting fat out before you get through. He says this in verse 11. And behold, I say how that they rewarded us to come and cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou judge them? For they have no might against this great company that thou comest against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are up on thee. Whoa, who are you looking at? Oh, some little short sawed off something. Calls himself James Rich. No, I got news for you. The guy that's behind me, he is everything. And the fellow that stands at his right hand, he is my Savior. And if you don't see him, you're in trouble. Because they're here. He's standing just back of me. And my Savior stands just to the right of me. And I am his servant. Thank God Almighty, I know that. Amen. And if you've not got that kind of confidence in your God, where is your confidence? Where is it? He says this thing because he's wanting to wake the people up. He's wanting them to realize where God's at and what God is doing. He said, O Lord our God, wilt thou judge them? For they have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. This was something they were all involved in. You know, when the church gets all involved, the church becomes the church. When the church gets really all involved together and become in one place and one mind and one accord, she becomes the church.
What happened on the day of Pentecost in the upper room? They were all in one mind and one accord, and God sent power from heaven, and the world saw who they were. Isn't that what Joseph had said? Bring all of them. Bring your newborn babies. Bring your old ladies with canes. Bring your sweet-minded readers with their swivel chairs. Bring everybody that can move towards the house of God, and bring them all here to pray before the Lord and fast in His sight and ask Him to do what you cannot do. Go to the rest home and get them all. Bring them all. Roll them in. We'll make room. It's exactly what Jehoshaphat said. In verse 15 he says. Verse 15. The prophet is speaking. He says, the Levites, the sons of Eli. In the last part of the verse he says, and he says, and came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Why did the Spirit of God show up? Because the people came together to worship Him. You won't leave here without a blessing if you come here in one mind and one accord in the Lord. He won't let you go away without getting the Holy Spirit. You know that? He won't let you go away without it. It's Jehoshaphat, boy. He knows how to speak. He says in verse 15, and when he said, hearken you all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and thou King Jehoshaphat, this is one of the Levites speaking, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but whose? God's. Did you know that? Who's going to make you and me win in the end? God. You can't win by yourself. You can't do it. Paul said, I can do all things through Paul. He say that? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He didn't beat his chest. He got down on his knees and said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Jehoshaphat wasn't proud. He's gathering everybody here. He says this, verse 16. Tomorrow you go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruah. He said, I want you to go down there and get ready for battle. Get all your swords out, all your big knives out, all your shield, everything you've got, everything you can whoop everything with, take it with you. Get all your stuff together and get ready to go down there and stomp some Moabs and Moabites. Get ready to go battle. You know, some people, they're not prepared for battle. Where's your shield of faith? Where's your breastplate of righteousness? Where's your helmet of salvation? Where's your sword? Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Your loins girded about with what? Oh, boy, you're dressed to fight. You ain't dressed to go out there and do a squat and a little ballerina thing. You're out there to just lay hurting on somebody. That's what the man's telling. You get all your stuff ready. You're going to a fight. Ye shall not need to fight in the battle. Now that says right there, well, whoa, shouldn't bring my knife. You're not going to have to do anything with it. But know what that meant was, he said, I want you to be prepared to fight, but then who's the battle belong to? Does it belong to you or does it belong to God? He said, the battle belonged to God, but I want you to be ready to fight. I don't think church is ready to fight. I think they got a bunch of wimpy, snotty little things running around here. They're just kind of blowing their nose and, oh, they're just in such a wretched mess. The church today is a bunch of wimps instead of a bunch of stand-up, loins girded about with truth,
helmets of salvation on, the church today is not prepared for this battle we're going to fight. And I've got news for you. This battle is just beginning. I read my emails this morning. This thing with China is going to turn into the biggest monster that you've ever seen in the whole wide world. They're sitting in meetings, Russia is, with China, with India, with all these people that are getting your money. They are taking your money out of this country and building those countries. They have got better armies, some of them, now than you have. And they got more money to buy more stuff with than you got. Because they got your money. They just shut down all your factories. They just shut down all your mills. They just done everything. They've got all the money over there and then beat this. Oh, this is a real whooper and a kick in the drawers. They have got a debt. We owe them people more money than we'll ever pay back to them. Do you give your enemy the power over you? Do you know we ought to go up there in the Congress and the Senate and throw them boys out in the yard? And when we throw them out, give them a good kick, a fast one in the britches. Somebody says, oh, they're about just doing great. I've got news for you. They are selling your country out. And they have got jingle and jangle in their pockets, and your pockets are going empty. That's exactly what's going on in your country. And they wouldn't know what faith was if it smacked them right between the eyes. They don't know that my Father and your Father watches over the little sparrows, and not one of them falls to the earth that he don't take knowledge of. They don't know that there's a God that's ruling over all this. And it all belongs to him anyway. I drove down my driveway the other day and I looked at everything. And I couldn't say it's mine. No, I just got it on alone till Jesus shows up. Get back to that Jehoshaphat boy again. You shall not need to fight, verse 17, in the battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Huh? See the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not and be not dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will, what? Be with you. Isn't that wonderful? It don't take nothing but walking out there and and then give the rest of it to God. How simple is that? I want to know simplicity in my life. How simple is that? Is that you just simply dress up for the battle, but then you turn it all over to God. That's just terribly good.
That's what David did.
That's exactly what David did. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshipped him. Don't you know that was a good worship service? I love to be there just to watch him mauling people. Everybody from the king that sat on the throne, for everybody in that whole kingdom, from every man, woman, boy, girl, child, whoever it was, everyone fell on their face before the Lord God and worshipped him. Wouldn't that scare the church to death if everybody would fall out and worship God real quick? They don't know what worship is. Jesus says of the Pharisees, he says, you love the tradition of your fathers more than you love the commandments of God. You know what's happening? That's exactly what's going to happen. People are loving the tradition of their fathers more than the commandments of God. We don't come to change. We come to install the God of all the ages. And if God gets in the place where God ought to be, change will happen without a problem. But you've got to put God where God ought to be. And this is what Jehoshaphat's doing. Do you know that? It's exactly what Jehoshaphat's doing. He's putting God in the place where God ought to be, and he's drawing all the people to God. You want to get your homes back where God wants them to be? Draw them all back to God. And instead of having that big yow-yow you have at the meal, sit down one time, get real quiet, and worship God. Get real quiet and worship God.
Verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth the wilderness to Korah. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, and ye shall what? Prosper. One of my translations says, Believe those that are sent to you. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. You know what established means? Means to be set up strong. How do you like that? To be set up strong. Immovable is one of the things I feel like it is. Believe his prophets, ye shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he had appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of the holiness as they went out before the army to say, Praise the Lord, for mercy, his mercy endureth forever. You know what he did? He got a praise committee to go before the army. You ever thought about having a praise committee before you come to church? Start out there in the yard. Don't start in here. Start out there in the yard. And from the yard in here, all you do is that you praise the Lord for what? What did he say, praise the Lord? How? For his mercy endureth forever. The worshipers start out there some words about the picnic shelter or to wind up in here. And what did you say? Bring your everybody. Your old ones. Everybody. Your young ones. Everybody. But he sent these fellows ahead. And he sent them out there before them. And the Lord set an ambush against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which was come up against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, and utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. Sound like they turned on one another, didn't it? And when Judah came towards the watchtowers of the wilderness, they looked upon the multitude. Behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Who did the battle belong to? God. The God of heaven turned them against each other. Isn't that a nice feeling? All the bad ones got smashed. Instead of them using their sharp knives on the people of God, they used them on one another. And what did they look out and see? A whole lot of people out there carrying swords? If I read that right, he said, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and the people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them abundance both of riches with the dead bodies, precious jewels, which they stripped off themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. These old boys wore everything to battle, didn't they? They wore their sparkly belts. They wore their sparkly drawers. They wore everything that could sparkle and twinkle. And they were going out there to kill some Judeans. I've got news for you. They all lost everything they had that day. Took them 3 days to clean up all the spoil. They carried home more than they've carried it home by the tubs. They were carrying it on everything they could carry it on, every donkey in the village, everything out there that could move or drag something, they were carrying it home.
Now, isn't it wonderful how God does stuff? He just beat the daylights out of their enemies and then suddenly rewarded them with jewels and diamonds and spoils and everything they could ever think of. Isn't that what God's salvation is? He smashes your enemy. You ever smash something? There's some bugs that I really love to step on. Isn't there some of them you like to step on? Oh, yes, there is. My favorite thing in the garden is to find me a whole parcel of Japanese beans. And we have what we have, a squashing party. I love to mash their little heads and watch the juice fly out both sides of my face. I do. I just like to stand there and hold him, just smash him and watch the juice go. He's finished. He won't never bite another tomato. He won't never bite another bean. He won't do nothing. He won't go nowhere to lay no eggs either, because I just smashed everything in him out of him. God is going to destroy your enemies before they ever reach you. God is going to take a hand and prepare his salvation, which is yours. No wonder it says it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Because he's going to pull everything out of the way so he can give it to you. Jehoshaphat knew who he was talking to. He knew who he was working with. He knew what God would do. He knew exactly what God would do. Every one of these people died. The whole destruction of these nations and their army was just obliterated. God wants you to be his. You ever really thought about God, what he done to do his beautiful love thing on you? You ever thought about that? Some of you, it's just a bunch of words. I've got news for you. It's real. He did allow his son Jesus to suffer and bleed and die for you. Somebody said, oh, that's just a Bible story. I had a man tell me that one time. It's just a Bible story. Nope. I said, it's real. He said, those guys just sat down and wrote that stuff up to get you all stirred up, preacher. I said, nope. I said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I said, I know where it come from. I said, you don't have a clue, but I do. He said, no. He said, all that stuff's been made up. He said, those guys just sat down one night and just started writing this stuff down. I said, yeah, they sat down one night and wrote it down. But I said, the holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit when they started writing. Because I said, the word you say, it's a bunch of tales. It's the word of God. And it's a lie. Are you going to believe it or just kind of toss it to one side? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to believe that God can do great things in your life, or are you just going to go on down your pathway and suddenly one day you run face to face with Jesus Christ in judgment? I don't think that's going to be a pretty sight, do you? I don't think that's going to be a pretty sight at all, to be marched up before him and he's going to stand there and you're going to be judged. And he is going to look at you and wonder why you didn't accept Jesus as your Savior. Why didn't you let me be a part of your life? Why don't you accept my Father's love and let my Father love you? Why won't you do that? And the thing about it is, there's too many of these stories in this Bible and too many of these writings that they put in here that declare what God can do. What are you going to do? I thought about all those guys that's collecting all those big bonuses and everything and sitting up there in their bank towers, you know, and they're getting millions and millions and millions. And I thought to myself, they don't have nothing. They don't have anything. They want to see somebody's loaded. Let me walk in there. I'll show them somebody's loaded. I'll show him somebody that's got a crown of gold going to be put on his head and a robe of righteousness, and he's going to walk streets of gold. I don't think they're going to get to do that. I'm not putting judgment on them. Unless they change their lives, they are going to miss the whole party. But the thing about it is, I know where mine is. And I know who is the one who gave it to me. Do I deserve it? No. I'm just a human being. I get angry at the drop of a hat. I do all kinds of things. I get all frustrated. Lord have mercy. Sometimes it's only God can understand. But He does. In the midst of all my confusion, He says, I love you. In the midst of all my times when I get so torn, He comes to me. And He takes all the torn and wretched parts and He puts them all together again. And then He causes His hand to come over me. And He said, I just healed you. You're mine. Don't you want to have a part in His kingdom? I think if you miss that, you've missed everything. You've been invited, you know. You've been invited innumerable times to be a Christian and be a child of God. What are you going to do with it? You've been invited so many times to be a child of God. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Him? You're just going to let Him do His thing. Well, He's doing His thing right now. He's making intercession in His name before His Father right now. He's looking over all these people and He is making intercession right now. Sure, you've been doing something. Your life is not what God would have it to be. But you know what He's doing? He's approaching God for you right now. And He's asking the Lord God, the Almighty, please save him. Please lay your hand on her. Please reach out and touch that person. Please be with that young man. Please be with that young lady. Please be with that person. Please be with them, Lord, and help them to know that you're the only true God and that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son. That's what my Savior Jesus is doing. That's what your Lord's doing. I believe they got a perfect relationship. I do. I believe that there's a perfect relationship anywhere God and Jesus has it. And I believe Jesus puts His hand over on the Father's hand and says, Father, please, help. Just as much as that prayer went out of His mouth, He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you know what you're doing here today? You may avoid Him today, you may avoid Him tomorrow, you may avoid Him the day after that. But there will come a day that you can no longer avoid Him. There will come a day when you cannot push Him aside. And there will be a day when you cannot take His power and just quench it in your life. Before that day, you'll stand before Him and hear Him say. You sat in that church on that Sunday morning. You heard the word of the Lord. You felt my power and my presence. You felt my love through my Son Jesus. And you sat there and you had traditions. You had family. You had friends. You had sin. You had self. You had everything. And you didn't take your life away. The devil wants to say to you, run to the door. Get out of here right now. Run. You don't want this. Scat! I haven't been very good at listening to him. For ever so long, he makes me so mad when he tries to get in my head. But the thing about it is, there's that sweet voice that says, I love you. There's that sweet voice that says, I want you to have eternal life. There's that sweet voice says, you're mine. What are you going to do with him? The Jews crucified him. The Roman government put him to death. Other people spit on him, slapped his face. Other people beat him down. And some Roman soldiers drove large nails into his hands and feet. What are you going to do with him? You think about him for a second or two. and then you listen for the voice of God. But whatever you do, don't deny the Lord.
Almighty and gracious God, we come before thy holy presence, knowing, Lord, in our hearts that there are only one true and living God, and that the only way that we come to you is through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you have seen fit to open our eyes, to unstop our ears, and help us, Lord, to realize and understand and hear and believe. We thank you, Father, that you have seen fit to let us know thy truth and thy word. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for that faith that you have instilled in our lives by raising up our Savior Jesus from the dead. Father, our trust is in you this morning. Realizing the world we live in, Lord, is quickly and speedily, Lord, going down the road towards judgment and before thy Son's coming. We realize, Lord, in all things that you have told us, that these things must come to pass. In fact, shortly come to pass. We're thankful, Father, that we are not in darkness, that day should overtake us as a thief. For, Lord, we realize in ourselves that you truly are about your business of saving not only us, but saving the whole world. We ask you, Father, to bless our sick this morning and cause your mighty hand to rest upon them. It is good to see some in the house of the Lord, Lord, that have been sick, and yet you have caused your power to cause them to be well and in good health. We ask strength, Lord, for all of our older ones and all the ones that are our people that we love so much. We ask you, Lord, to give them strength. We ask, Lord, strength for all the church and for healing amongst all of our people, and especially among our little children, Lord, that you would lay your hand mightily upon them and heal them according to your gracious will. Lord, we ask you now to bless those that are in charge of our country and those that are in rulership and those that sit in the Oval Office, those that sit in the great Senate and Congress of this nation, that their hearts and minds, Lord, will be in tune with you, and that the decisions they make will not only affect us, in that it will affect us to bring about the soon coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, back to this world. Give us wisdom, Lord, to think first and to speak at your command. Help us, Lord, to understand your word, and when understanding, Lord, to believe it with all of our heart, soul, and mind. We're thankful, Father, for a revealing of your Son to each and every one of us. We pray, Father, that there's anyone in this house this morning that does know not Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, or if there's someone, Lord, who is backslidden into the ways of sin, we pray, Father, that you will reach down from heaven and that your mighty hand will touch them and bring them to you before it is too late. We're thankful, Father, that you have caused your power and grace to be in this place. Please help us to be about your business this day, and may your word convince our hearts. May it be believed deep within. And may our faith increase, that we may believe in the God that does the impossible. In Jesus' name, amen.